find the Christ child, and they worship him and offer him gifts. And what we've done is we've taken the wise men and we put them in the nativity. And this is one point where we actually prefer to ignore scripture because we like our tradition more. We like to see the wise men there with the shepherd worshiping the baby Jesus, right? But that's not what scripture tells us. It's very clear that the wise men would have come sometime after Jesus was born. They would not have been there the night that he was born. But there's so much about the events surrounding Epiphany that are questions that are just left unanswered. And so church tradition has decided to fill in the blanks. Like, for instance, we don't know where the wise men were from. All we're told is they're from the East. So scripture doesn't tell us where in the East. There's different possibilities that seem reasonable, but we don't really know where they're from. Scripture doesn't tell us how many there are, but we've always assumed three. That goes back to the tradition that, you know, they had the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we have three wise men. It could have been a dozen wise men. We don't know. And we're also confused about their vocation, what they actually did, because we had that song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." And they're, again, assuming three, but also calling them kings. And what they're wise men, they're magi, is what they're actually called. And magi were actually astrologers. They worked in kings' courts, but they were not kings themselves. So we don't know where they're from. We don't know how far they traveled. We don't know how many there were. All we know is that they were astrologers who were studying a star that led them to the king of the Jews. And there's a lot of speculation also about that star. What exactly was it? Scripture doesn't tell us. It just tells us there was a star that pointed them to Jesus. But theologians have speculated on this one as well, and some have said that the star was a supernova. Some have said it was a comet. Some have said it was the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn. And they've even gone so far as to try to calculate the last time Jupiter and Saturn were in alignment to try to see if it matches the timing of the birth of Jesus. And then there's others that don't try to explain it that way. They just say it was a supernatural phenomenon and leave it at that. These questions might be of some interest. But the question is, does it really matter? You know, does it matter how many wise men there were? Does it matter how far they traveled or where they were from? Does it really matter if the star was a natural phenomenon that God used to direct the wise men to Jesus, or if he used some miracle, some just a miraculous star? Does all that really matter? And I would say, no, it doesn't matter, because Matthew doesn't answer any of those questions. He tells us what we need to know. In the left, he just doesn't mention. Often people will ask the wrong questions when it comes to understanding the Bible. People get sidetracked on trivial matters that the Bible doesn't intend to answer. If we spend our time trying to answer questions that the Bible didn't intend to answer, then we're missing the point. Now, sometimes we have real questions, and they're not trivial at all. But they're still questions the Bible doesn't answer. Oftentimes, we want the Bible to tell us some things that it doesn't answer, like when you're in college trying to figure out your career, and you want to know, what are you calling me to do, Lord? And you want to find an answer there in Scripture. Or maybe you're wondering if you'll ever get married, God, are you ever going to send somebody? Or if you are dating someone, is this the right person? So we have questions that we want the Bible to answer, it just doesn't answer. Because these are not the questions that the Bible intended to answer. And it's easy to see how the wrong questions will cause us to miss the point of Scripture. I think that's pretty easy, but I don't want to focus on that this morning. What I want us to consider is it possible to have the answers to the questions that the Bible does ask, to have the right answers and still miss the point? I think the answer to that is yes. We see that on the celebration of Epiphany and the events that surrounded the wise men coming to Jerusalem. We see here in Matthew, there are those who get the right answer and still they miss the point completely. This is the problem with the priests and the scribes. These wise men are following a star, and naturally they go to the palace, because that's where you assume a newborn king would be. And they go to Herod, and they ask him, where is the one who was born king of the Jews? They saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So Herod wants to find out where this king is also. So he calls in the scribes and the chief priests. These are the theologians. These are the biblical experts. And he wants to find out from them exactly the location of the Messiah according to Scripture. And so they answer him, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. And then they quote from Micah, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people. They answer Herod's question. They answer with Scripture. The question, very question that the Scriptures intended to answer. They answer the question with Scripture. And that's it. They answer the question and done. Doesn't that seem a little odd? I mean, where's the curiosity? People, these Gentiles from a distant land, have come to Jerusalem. They're telling them they saw a star that points them to the king of the Jews. And they want to know where he is. They want to know, where is this king? Who is this king? They've come to worship him. These Gentiles want to come and worship the king of the Jews. That's pretty surprising. But when Herod asks the theologians about the birthplace of the Messiah, they answer the question as if they're playing a game of Trivial Pursuit. There's not a curious bone in their body. They don't care one little bit about this baby who's been born and actually the king of the Jews. And the reason I can say that is because if they really cared, they would have joined the search party. They would have been along with the wise men traveling to Bethlehem himself so they could find out if they had really seen the king of the Jews, if the scriptures had been fulfilled in this child. They don't seem to be interested in investigating these claims. You see, they answer the question. They answer the question that the Bible is asking, and they answer it with Scripture, and they still miss it. These wise men, who you would think would be the least interested in finding the king of the Jews, want to find him, yet God's own people are completely disinterested. How is it possible that these biblical scholars, these experts, how did they miss it? How did they completely miss the point? Well, here's how it happened. It appears that even though they had all this knowledge of Scripture, they didn't apply what they knew to their hearts and onto their lives. They weren't anticipating this prophecy to be fulfilled. They weren't looking for the Messiah to come. They didn't apply what they knew to their hearts. The priest and the teacher of the law could answer the question and still miss it. What a tragedy, really, that these biblical scholars who were part of God's nation, who were familiar with the law and the prophets, they had God's own revelation given to them that they had been studying, and they had God's promise that a Messiah would come to do something about sin in the world and the sin in their lives. At this very moment in time, that prophecy was being fulfilled. The Messiah had come, and they weren't even interested enough to go check it out and see for themselves. At this moment in time, all that the prophets had been pointing to, the entire point of the Old Testament was to point them to the Messiah to come. And yet they missed it. They don't go to Jesus. They completely miss the point. Fortunately, we get it. Like the wise men, we have gathered here today, we have come to worship Jesus. We know He is the answer to all of what Scripture is about. He is all pointing to Jesus. We know that he's along the way of the Messiah. We know he is, we know who he is, and we know what he has come to do. Yet is it possible that even we who know him can at times be guilty of the same things that the chief priests and the scribes are guilty of, where we have the right answer and yet we miss the point? Are we in danger of applying, of not applying our head knowledge, what we know to be true in Scripture? Are we guilty of not applying that to our hearts and letting that spill out into our lives? Well, let me just ask you here, consider this for yourself. True or false, did Jesus come into this world to be an atoning sacrifice for you and me, and through his death and resurrection, are we now forgiven of all of our sins? And our sins have now been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Is that true or false? It's true. Yet why do we still carry guilt and beat ourselves up over past sins? Why do we not offer the same forgiveness we've received to others who have wronged us? Why do we continue to hold grudges? True or false, all of what Jesus accomplished on the cross was applied to you at your baptism. You are now covered in the righteousness of Christ. You are now completely at peace with God. In fact, you are a child of God, and you belong to him forever, and he will never leave you. Is that true or false? It's true. And if that's true, why do you still worry? Why do you still have fear in your life? Why do you still concern yourselves with the opinions of others more than you're concerned with what God thinks? See, we know the answer to the questions. We know intellectually what it means to be Christians. But we don't always live out what we know to be true in our lives. We think about how Jesus has saved us from eternal death so that we will be with him when we die, but we forget to consider that what he's done for us also matters now as we live. When we treat the gospel as information, then we fail to see that the gospel has the power of transformation. The wise men, after they found the Christ child, how did they react? When they got to Jesus, they say, okay, mystery solved, we found this kid, let's go. No. Matthew tells us they fell down and worshiped. They brought him gifts to honor him, gifts fit for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their reaction to the knowledge that this child was the king of the Jews and the Messiah led us to sink that into their hearts, and they worshiped. That's the point. Finding the Christ child, knowing Jesus as your Savior, changes not just what you know, but it changes your heart. It changes your entire life. It changes first how you relate to God. We relate to God as people who are saved by his grace, sinners saved by grace alone. How do we relate to others? We relate to others as to love them as we have been loved first, where we have the Christ light in our actions. And how do we see ourselves? We are redeemed children. It transforms your mind, it transforms your heart, and it transforms your actions. Now, maybe you think, well, the wise men, of course they would know how to react. They were wise men, right? They're wise, they know how to do this. But if you know who the wise men really were, we can translate that wise men to magi. But you know who they were? They were pagans. They lived in a pagan land, and they didn't worship the true God. They looked at the impersonal forces of nature to guide them. They were astrologers, you know, that they dedicated their lives to the study of the stars, the alignments of planets, to get meaning in life. Much like people do today who read horoscopes to decide on major life decisions. The wise men didn't devote their lives to the personal God of the Jews, yet God worked through them. He worked through their misguided worldview. And he showed them a star. And they applied their knowledge of the stars, and they focused on that star, and that star led them to Jesus. It led them to worship him. God led people who didn't know him to worship him. And that's what he does for each one of us. And as his people, we are a continual work in progress. We're constantly struggling here to apply what we know down in our hearts and into our lives. And most of the time, we fail miserably. But we aren't living out our faith as we know we should. We wonder what kind of a witness we are to our children. We wonder what kind of a witness we are to our friends and our neighbors. We are constantly failing, trying to live out what we know into our lives. But know this. Just as God worked through the misguided worldview of the wise men, he works through our lives too. And not just despite our sins and despite our failings and our bad decisions, he can even work through them. He does work through our sins and our failings and our bad decisions. See, there's nothing we can do that's going to make things so irreversible for us that God can't still work in our lives. He's constantly working in our lives. He never stops working in our lives to draw us to him. Just as the wise men were guided by a star, we too are guided by God's word. And there he reveals to us how much he loves us for Jesus' sake. In order to see the point of Epiphany and the point of Matthew's gospel reading today, look to the wise men. We don't know how many there were. We don't know where they're from, and we don't know how far they traveled. But what we do know is that they followed a star. And that star led them to Jesus. And that's the point. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding to your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, for the last moment. Amen.